this morning, and I want to pick up the theme of mission again tonight. And I want us to focus on that theme through the reading that we had primarily from John's Gospel, but I will also be making reference to the reading that Mark brought us from 1 Peter chapter 2. In this passage, John 17, we have, as I said, the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. In effect, you could say that it is a conversation between God the Father and God the Son. At this point, it is God the Son who is speaking, but he quotes some of the things that his Father has already done. And therefore, we have this privilege of entering into the secret relationship between God the Father and God the Son. In many ways, what we have in this passage is some of the most powerful words of Scripture. I want us to focus in particular on what the Lord Jesus Christ says in verses 17 through 19. So John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." Now let me put this prayer, let me put these verses into a context. The Lord Jesus Christ has almost completed his life here on earth. He is God who became man, and he has lived as a man for almost 33 years. For the last 3 or 3.5 years, he has spent the majority of his time with 12 men in particular that he has been preparing to take the work forward. But he has now come to the last evening of his life. In John chapter 13, which is the beginning of this evening, we are told that Jesus, having loved his disciples, loved them to the end. And that's what I want us to focus on tonight, is the love of God and the love of Christ for human beings. Jesus said in Luke's record, he said, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you." He wanted to be with his people. He was not a God who was afar off. This afternoon we saw that presentation, and it was talking about millions of gods within Hinduism. How can you get to know them? The Bible teaches us of one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And these disciples, these men, had got to know this man in a special way. Before Jesus taught his disciples on this particular evening, he did something incredible. He removed his outer clothing. To put that in our context, we'd say he rolled up his sleeves. And he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he washed the feet of his disciples. Now, don't think of horrible, sweaty feet that are trapped in shoes all day, but rather feet that have been dusty because they've been walking in open sandals. And yet Jesus got down there amongst them, and he showed the reality of his humility. On a number of occasions, as he goes through the teaching this night, he says to his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." And then in that great chapter, chapter 14, his disciples ask him the way, if you like, to God. And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus is there saying that there are no other ways to God. There may be many roads that lead us to Christ. And I'm sure if we were to share our testimonies tonight and our experience of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be many ways that we have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is the only way to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And tonight, before I say anything else about mission, I have to ask you, I have to ask you personally, have you come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know what it is to understand your need? Do you know what it is to struggle with yourself as a person? Now, you may want to put some sort of philosophical language on it and say, oh, well, I have not got a place for God because of this, or I can't come to God because of that understanding. You may have problems in your life, and you say, well, I could never believe in a God of love when I've been through what I have been through. But the Bible tells us that it is vital before we leave this world that we come to that place where we have a relationship with our God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can bring us to God. But in these chapters as well, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. And in effect, he says, if you want to live as a Christian, you need the work of the Holy Spirit within you. You need him to give you the power and the perseverance to live. And at the beginning of chapter 15, he says, you will only prove yourself as a Christian as you abide, as you remain in the Lord Jesus Christ. So all these things come together before Jesus begins to pray. And you see at the beginning of this chapter, we are introduced to Jesus' prayer. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. So here you have Jesus, and he begins his prayer in verses 1 to 5, praying about himself and how he has lived in relationship with God here on earth. In verses 6 to 19, which is by far the longest section of the prayer, he prays for his disciples, who he knows are going to suffer very shortly, as they are confused by what they see happening in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verses 20 to 26, in actual fact, he prays for us if we are Christians here tonight. Notice how verse 20 begins. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word. That's us. Those of us who have heard the preaching that is based on the teaching of the apostles. And Jesus, there the night when he was crucified, the night before he was crucified, he is praying for us. And that's where we come to these verses, verses 17 to 19. There are three clear parts, well, the three verses, but there are three clear parts to what Jesus prays in these verses. But there is one thread that goes throughout them. You notice in verse 17, it says, sanctify them in your truth. And then down into verse 19, for their sake I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. Now, sanctification, a powerful theological word. What does it mean? Literally, it means set apart. That God is praying that his people, or Jesus is praying that his people might be set apart, that they might be different from the world around us. And tonight, I want to say to you that God wants all who believe in him to understand that they are special, that they are set apart. The passage that Mark read to us had these words, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." In a way, I could ask a question of these verses. What is a Christian? Well, a Christian is a chosen person, because that's what is said at the beginning of verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people who have been made, as it were, royalty or priests, and they are different from other people. But notice what verse 10 says. Once you were not a people. Do you feel like that? Who am I? I am nobody. Who's interested in me? When you think of all the razzmatazz of the last few weeks in preparation for the election, who has thought about you? And that is exactly what this verse is saying. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Do you understand that? That a Christian was a nobody, but now the Christian is somebody who has, if you like, got the mark of God upon them. God has said, "These are my people." Once you had not received mercy. And the point that is being made there is that God will judge the sinner. And anybody outside of Christ cannot expect the mercy of God. But now you have received mercy. And we are told in the scriptures that if we call upon the name of the Lord, then he will be merciful to us, that he will be willing to forgive us. So in these verses, Jesus is praying, "Lord, I want my disciples, I want Christians in the 21st century to understand that they are special to me, that they have been set aside." And that is what Jesus prays here at the beginning of this prayer. "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." He is saying, set them apart. Now, why is he praying this at the end of his ministry? He's already chosen these disciples. You think about it. We're told in John chapter 1 that Jesus is walking along, and John the Baptist points him out as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then Jesus calls these disciples to follow him. In Matthew chapter 4, we have another account of an incident where Jesus says to those four fishermen, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They've been set aside on one occasion. They've been set aside on another. Mark chapter 3, Jesus calls his 12 disciples, and he says, "You're going to be apostles. You're going to be even more special in this context." So why does Jesus pray, "Sanctify them, set them apart"? Let me give you an illustration that many of us will understand. There was a time in our lives, for the majority of us, it was when we were quite young. For others of us, it's been when we are older. But we were part of the crowd, and maybe you as a young man spoke to a young girl and said, well, would you like to come out with me? Can we have a coffee together? Can we go to the cinema? And you were saying to that young lady, I want to set you apart. I want you to be mine. And you spend a bit of time together. Is that the end of the story? No. There then came that time. Perhaps the young man went down on bended knee and he said, will you marry me? And there was that further setting apart. They become engaged. And then there came the climax of the relationship when before a congregation and before God, they make the promise that they will give themselves to each other. They will separate themselves from everybody else and they will give themselves completely to God. That is what's going on here. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is praying, Lord, sanctify them. Set them aside completely for your work and for your glory. Jesus calls us to himself in faith. He calls us to confess our sin. But then he says to us that I want you to love me more and more. The illustration that I used of the courting couple, the engaged couple, the married couple, I talked about rising to a climax. But the reality is that day by day, if we have got a strong marriage, we again separate ourselves from everybody else around us. And that is what God calls us to do. We are to separate ourselves. How are we to do that? Well, we are told here in verse 17 that we are sanctified in the truth. Your word is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Thy word is truth, or your word is truth. Jesus is described as the word of God. How do we become sanctified to God? As we become more and more familiar with the Lord Jesus Christ as he is revealed to us in the scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ says to us as Christians that we become more separated to him, more set aside, as we allow the Word of God to do its work in our lives. Earlier on, when he was teaching his disciples, he said this in chapter 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. Friends, tonight, do you understand that? That there came a time when the Lord Jesus Christ said, I love you. And I want you to understand that I love you. And I want to draw you to myself. Here we are told that we will be sanctified in the truth. Other Bibles translated as you will be sanctified by the truth. And others say that you will be sanctified through the truth. Now, it isn't that there's an argument in the Greek. It's just that the Greek word can be translated in these ways. So if we're going to look at this translation that we have here, sanctify them in the truth. What is Jesus saying to us? He is saying, if you want to be set apart, if you want to become the person that God wants you to be, then you have to be in Christ and you have to remain in Christ. I find it a tragedy when people make an assumption, oh, well, I've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be saved. No, friends. We have to go on believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to show the world that we are in Christ. Okay, when we struggle with our Christian lives, that's when we come to this word being translated by the truth. We are sanctified by the truth. The Bible will speak to us. It will challenge us. It will show us where we are going wrong or where we need to be more committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this all goes on so that through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we might be set aside for God. Let me ask you tonight, friends, are you set aside? Is God working in you? Are you becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ? So, verse 17 describes the means of sanctification, the means of being set aside by the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible. Verse 18 is the purpose of sanctification. Why are we sanctified? And Jesus says here, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Disciples, Christians, are not simply chosen and saved in order that they might go to heaven. No, Jesus places his disciples in the same category as himself. He says, I was sent into the world. And friends, when Jesus saved us, he saved us in order to send us. Now, this afternoon, we saw John Luther talking about being sent into Nepal to be a witness there. For us, it may be just across the road. But somebody was speaking to me in the vestibule tonight before the service, and he said, well, Pastor, I can see that I won't be set aside to go to Nepal. I said, are you sure? And we can never be sure until our life is over what God might ask us to do. But I want you to understand the profound responsibility of being a Christian. You are saved in order that you might be set aside by God to do his work. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of God who had lived in eternity with the Father, was sent from heaven to earth, to this world, in order that the world through him might be saved. Do you enjoy living in Newport? Do you enjoy worshipping at Emmanuel? I wonder, is the Lord saying to you, I'm setting you apart. I'm setting you aside because I want to send you. Now, I don't know where God might want to send you, but he says, I want to send you into the world. Notice what Jesus has said in verse 15. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Medieval Christianity was known for its monasticism. People wanted to be good Christians. So what did they do? They came out of their families. They came out of the business world. They came out of the other activities of this world. And they locked themselves away in convents and in monasteries in order that they might be separated to God. That's contrary to what Jesus says here. Jesus says, I don't want to take them out of the world. That was medieval Christianity that made mistakes. What mistakes do we make as 21st century Christians? I think in many ways we can make the mistake of being content to lock ourselves in our buildings and say, it's all got to go on here. On Wednesday evening, we heard about William Williams in the 18th century. And was it three times around the world he went, Alwena, on horseback? Could you imagine that? Three times around the world on horseback. Why? Because he wanted to be in the world. He wanted to meet people where they were. And we saw that again this afternoon with those men in Nepal. They would drive into a village they would ask permission to preach. They would stand up and preach. Or if they weren't allowed to preach, they would shake the dust from off their feet. But they would drive and they would get to places where they could find people who had never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I don't want to take them out of the world, but I want to send them into the world. Jesus wants us to be in the world, to be mixing with the unconverted, in order that they might look at us and say, what's different about you? Why is it that you can cope with life in the way you do? Tell me about it. And that is what Jesus is saying here, that he will send us into the world. He will separate us. He will set us apart. Friends, as Christians, we are under orders from our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. I was speaking to the children this morning, and I was saying to them, the Great Commission is there to go and make disciples of all nations. But the promise is there that the Lord will be with us. God has saved us in order that he might send us. We as a church must actively be looking for people. Now, first of all, we have got to pray that God would save people. And my prayer tonight is that there may be people here. And maybe for the first time tonight, you will understand that Jesus came to save you. I want you to be saved. But I want those of us who have walked with God to understand that the purpose we have been taken out of the world into the family of God is that he might send us back again to be witnesses. So we've seen the means of separation, that is the word of God and truth. We have seen the purpose of separation or of sanctification, that is that we might be sent to tell other people. And the last thing that I want to show you, my third point tonight, is in verse 19, the model of separation or of sanctification, the model of a holy life. And the model is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 19, and for their sake I consecrate myself. It's exactly the same word as sanctification. I sanctify myself. I separate myself. I set myself apart that they also may be sanctified in the truth. Jesus is the greatest model of one who was separated from this world. He came into this world, but he came into this world not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent him. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Mark was talking to us about this, wasn't he? 10 days or so ago in the prayer meeting, where the Lord Jesus Christ prayed, not my will, but your will be done. If it be possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me. And I'll be honest with you, following the Lord Jesus Christ does not become easier as you get older, because there are challenges, but we can pray like the Lord Jesus Christ, not my will, but your will be done. And why did Jesus come into this world? He came into this world for their sake. Now let me unpick this a little bit. I have been talking about sanctification as being separated, set apart for God. But what's Jesus saying here? For their sake, for the unconverted, for young Christians, I consecrated myself. I set myself apart. And Jesus is saying that he's not only separated for the sake of God, but he separated for the sake of his people. He wants his people to understand that he has come to save them, that he cares about them. And I want you to understand that tonight, friends. Jesus has gone back to heaven. He has died. He's paid the price of sin. He has been buried. He has risen from the dead in order to demonstrate the power of God and the victory of God. But he's now ascended into heaven and he is praying. Who is he praying for? He is praying for his people. And he's praying for those who will still be converted. Maybe he's praying for you tonight as an unconverted person, that you might come to him. Maybe he's praying for you tonight as a converted person. And he is saying, I want to separate you. I want to set you apart. Because I have got a special work that only you can do for me in this world. If we seriously set ourselves apart or allow ourselves properly to be set apart by God, then we will live both for God and for his people. We will live for God's people who are already current believers, but we will also live for those who will become believers. Verse 20, I do not ask for these only, but for also for those who will believe in me through their words. I can say to you that the church of God is not yet complete because the Lord Jesus Christ has not yet returned, but he's praying that others would be saved. We thank God for the opportunities that we still have in this country. Many of you, even in our own church, are knowing blessing and encouragement as you've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Others of you have been on the road a long time and you've begun to realize, okay, I may have been doing this for years, but I've got to put that down in order to do this for God. And you have known the blessing and encouragement that comes from that. Or maybe tonight is the first time that you've realized that you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's like the boyfriend talking to the girl in the crowd and saying, will you come for a coffee? The Lord Jesus Christ is saying that tonight. Will you come to me? Will you come from that situation? But then, maybe you are a Christian and you have enjoyed this special relationship with God for many years. And he's now saying to you, I want this to go deeper. Are you prepared to trust him? Are you prepared to say, yeah, I'll leave all that behind in order that I might live fully for God? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, he cried out, it is finished. He was saying, the work that God sent me to do, I have done. Why did he do that? Well, I'd point you to the last verse that Mark read for us tonight. He says this, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Jesus has saved every believer here tonight in order that we might glorify God. So, as we draw to a conclusion tonight, let me remind you of that great prayer that Jesus prayed on our behalf. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. May the Lord indeed separate each of us to his glory and to his service. Amen.